You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Greg Hoffman from Take Command. And the best part about podcasts is they create a 25th hour in the day. Whenever I'm commuting, metro, car, even when I'm riding my bike around town, although in that case, one earphone only, safety kids, I'm always listening to podcasts. And this offseason, you can get all the insights, all the news, all the analysis, and Logan and I occasionally make a joke or two in the Take Command podcast on demand so it fits in to your busy schedule. Follow Take Command in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. All right, Logan, so that brings us to the decision, which obviously there's more data to be gathered. There's seemingly always more data to be gathered. We got Drake May's pro day, had McCarthy's, had Jaden Daniels that we just talked about. They still have their 30 visits, and assumingly they will bring all these guys to Ashburn. And you know, we just said one of the benefits of the pro day is for the athlete is it's on their turf. Well, come on over to Ashburn and see what the turf is like there in Northern Virginia. But ultimately, they've got a decision to make between these three guys. And I know this will, there's a lot of folks who are going to find this unbelievable, but we both, as the more we've watched McCarthy, have landed on he's in the group. He is right there with Drake May. He is right there with Jaden Daniels. There is just a ton of good film. There's not a lot of film, you know, because there's not a lot of fluff in his film. A lot of other quarterbacks where they have more throws, a lot of those other throws are just like bubble screens or quick game where there's not really a decision to be made. And yeah, they did it. But when you just, if you're just like make a cut up of NFL throws, JJ McCarthy's cut up would be just as long and have just as many throws as most of these other guys. So I think that when you take that and you look at the quality of those throws, JJ McCarthy is absolutely 100% right there. And I think the question I have now that I've made that determination and you agree with me, and we've been texting with some of our buddies around the NFL scouting world and the media scouting world. And a lot of them are like, yeah, no, I like him way more than I thought I would too, as they've watched the tape, is how do you then separate them back out? And to me, that question starts with, like, obviously we're going to have the personality stuff and there's going to be stuff that we're not privy to. But from a football standpoint, which one of these guys fits best with what Washington wants to do offensively, which right now means what Cliff Kingsbury is trying to build offensively. Do you feel like you have any sense of an answer on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, you asked me this question last night, and I think I stayed up a couple hours thinking about it. And I think the problem—
Sorry to ruin your sleep.
No, but I like that. That's like why I'm a psycho about this stuff, is because like one of the things that I have a hard time with is I do think Cliff is smart enough to kind of adjust his offense to fit. Now, I kind of took it a different way. Basically, I said, of the three guys, who would I be most comfortable starting day one? And there's a lot of people that would say JJ. And I think JJ is a guy that is interesting because of the thing you just talked about. Like when you watch his film, you're just like, oh my gosh, every throw, every window, every read is an NFL throw read. But then again, you get to these moments where you see his immaturity as a player. Now, I think he's going to grow and I think he's going to get better. And I think he does have a relatively high upside. And I think he's got some familiarity with NFL stuff, which gets me excited. Then I go to Drake and I'm like, all right, well, Drake doesn't have the footwork fundamentals, right? But he does have that, like, you know, Farvian kind of baller mode, which I love to see. And you need to have a little bit of that at the quarterback position. And then I get to Drake May, or then I get to Jaden Daniels, and I say, like, if I had to start someone, it would probably be him. And again, like, I don't know if he's got the highest ceiling. I don't know if he's got the lowest floor. But if I had to start someone tomorrow, I think it's probably him. And I think when you look at his composure, when you look at his ability to make tight window throws. And again, he's thrown to some of the best receivers in college football, but there was a gamesmanship to him that I can't overvalue, right? Like when the moment was big, he made a play. When like they got to have it on third down, he would make the play. And I think there was just a composure to him, the quick release, the fundamentals all seemed to line up. And then the ability to run the football from the quarterback position, I think elevates the floor of this offense. And I look at what Cliff Kingsbury did with Kyler Murray in Arizona. And when you're in the gun a lot, which I think they're going to be in the gun quite a bit, I think having the ability to run the quarterback or at least threaten the run is going to be extremely impactful. And so that's where I'd kind of say like that was my distinguishing factor. If tomorrow I had to start one of these guys, it would be Jaden Daniels. Now, that doesn't mean like longitudinally they're going to be the best player, but I just think that guy is probably the most ready to start tomorrow. And again, like, is it going to be perfect? No. But when I look at what Cliff does, one of the things that I thought was brilliant about that offense is a lot of times, you know, they get in this 3-by-1 set, right? They got three receivers to the left, one receiver to the right. And they would just pretty much be like, if you like the matchup to the right, throw the ball. And he throws the best deep ball in the class. And it's not like we're running an out or a hitch. It's like we are running a go. And we're going to give our receiver an opportunity to make that throw. And that's a skill set that this guy has kind of the best in the class. He throws the best deep ball in the class. So if that's going to be a big feature of what you do, I want to make sure my completion percentage is higher than 50% on that. And I want a guy who's going to be really accurate with that. So the running ability, the deep ball accuracy, given how Cliff handles some of that vertical stuff, those vertical, it's not an option route, but like kind of alerts on the backside.
Yeah.
I just think that skill set's going to be really, really important.
Yeah. No. And so it comes down to like, what question are you trying to answer? Like, is it the best guy for day one or is it the best guy for day five or not day five, a year five? Right. Yeah. Like in their prime, are we trying to get a top five quarterback? And do we think all three of these guys can get there? Do we think just one of them, but is it too risky? And like, this is both the positive and the negative of this discussion. And I think this is where some people get sideways with it is like, you feel like you're bashing the other guy. You know, if I say I want player A, am I bashing player B? It's like, no, I actually like all of them. And that's why I think this is so hard is I genuinely am at a point where I am comfortable with all three of them going at two. Which also makes me comfortable saying, hey, if you can trade back and get more and then get any one of them at five, then sick. Like do that. And that would probably be better than taking any one of them at two. But like, there's a lot of people that disagree. A lot of people that think Drake is like that dude, that Jaden is that dude. And there's starting to be a larger contingent of people that are like, actually, I think JJ McCarthy is that dude. And so it becomes very difficult to evaluate because it will come down to the personality. It will come down to, are we looking more short-term, more long-term? And what is the likelihood that we can get our guy there? Because I think the guy with the highest upside, which is what a lot of people would tell you is the most important thing. Are we going to get the guy? Are we going to get the perennial Pro Bowler or even all pro level quarterback? That guy, the biggest upside guy is Drake May. If I had to start any one of these three tomorrow, he's the last. I would start JJ over him and I would start Jaden over him and I wouldn't think twice about it. And so I don't know what to do with that information. That's why Adam Peters' paycheck is a lot bigger than mine, amongst many other reasons. But that is ultimately the conundrum, put as concisely as possible, is the upside and the short-term plays are literally the opposite guy.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a great point because I do agree. I think Drake May, like when you look at the big-time throw stuff, when you look at the kind of high-level playmaking nuance, the kind of gunslinger mentality, like he's got it, man. He's got that factor. And it's the inconsistency stuff that gets you thinking, man, if he could sit for 8 weeks, I think I'd be much higher on him. But I don't think they've built the roster at the moment to sustain him sitting for 8 weeks. Now, if you had re-signed Jacoby Brissett or you had kind of gone out and signed a Gardner Minshew, one of those higher end backups that we're talking about, kind of that, you know, the 25th to the 35th quarterback in the NFL to kind of be that guy, to be that mentor, I feel much, much better about that. But for the construction of the team as it currently exists, I don't know if he can come in day one and like just lead you the way you need to be led. I think there's a lot of rawness to him. And again, like he's uber talented, man. Like, he's uber talented, but there's an inconsistency with his footwork, his arm mechanics, the release, all that kind of stuff. And everyone says, oh, well, like Aaron Rodgers was like that coming out. And I totally agree he was like that, but he sat for like 4 years, 3 years, and then figured it out. And so that's something I keep coming back to. It's like, if you kind of put him on the shelf for a little bit, let him grow up, I think you feel pretty good about it. I'm really glad you brought up the JJ thing too, because I do think JJ brings, compared to Jaden, brings a little bit more natural arm talent. And that's because I think JJ's arm talent is special. Like when you watch him throw at the combine, I think that's one of the reasons people were pretty geeked about his pro day, is because a lot of the media members were seeing him throw for the first time in person. And you're like, oh, this dude can sling it. And you know, that's something we knew, or that I knew when I went to the combine, because you watch all the drills, you're like, the ball comes out of his hands differently than Bo Nix, Michael Penix. The only guy that's different is Joe Milton. And we'll talk about him in a little bit because he's a freak, but he's kind of in that, he's kind of in that category of just elite arm talent, and he can run the football. Like that's the thing, when you watch this film, like he's a good runner. And I think he's a little bit more of a natural runner than Drake May. So in a year where you got to kind of survive that, you know, having a lack of talent around you, I would probably lean him. But again, he's a guy also that I think would be much, much better if he could sit for a year. So that's why I kind of go back to the Jaden Daniels thing. Like, to your point, like, it's, is that the right way to approach this decision? And I don't know. I don't have a good explanation for it, because I don't think that I would feel very comfortable day one with Drake May starting. But if it's year three and he's looking good and he's cooking, he's cleaned up some of these things, like, his ceiling's by far the highest. And so that's where the conundrum comes into me. It's just like, they're all good. They're all good in different ways. And it's just about what you feel that you can develop and what you can tolerate while you're kind of in the midst of a roster reconstruction, if that's kind of how you want to term it.
Right. And the thing is with Drake too, like if he plays, like you can play and be bad and still be good in the end, right? Like the Peyton Manning example of setting the NFL rookie record for interceptions, and it worked out just fine for him. Like if Peyton Manning had sat, would he have turned into the same guy? Probably. Would it happen at the same speed? Probably not. Like who knows? Where there's other guys where you're like, man, if that dude hadn't sat early, I don't know that he ever makes it. Like he doesn't figure it out. He needed to sit. And we don't know with Drake. Like we can't possibly know with Drake. And it's not like we can play it out one way, then rewind the tape and then try the other way if it didn't work. Like you only get one shot at this. So could Drake May be the guy and play through a ton of mistakes and it's really ugly, but by week 9-10 he's starting to figure some things out and next year he's pretty good? Like that could be possible. Or do you sit him and just deal with Marcus Mariota being your quarterback, whatever that turns into, and hope that, you know, you can call an offense in a way that makes you competitive week in and week out? Like maybe that is the play. So I think that's really tough. I do want to, before we get even farther,
I'm glad you brought that up, go ahead. Because I do think, like, you know, when we say sit, I said sit, and I'm glad you made a little bit of a distinction there, because sitting is one thing, but also like insulating is another way to look at that, right? Like, can you pull a Russell Wilson with him where he's starting, but he's definitely a passenger to his offense, right? Tom Brady early in his career, like where he's starting, but like he's not having to do the high leverage stuff all the time. And I think like looking at Sam Howell as an example, like they kind of did it the other way. They said, here's everything, figure it out. And there's merit to that in some circles. But I think the way that's more consistently successful is the one where they are just kind of, they're the passenger to the offense. So you could definitely construct that. And I think that they've done a pretty good job of getting pieces around him that offensively that would allow that to happen. But I do think that the offense would look, and again, they're all going to be passengers to a certain extent. But I think with Drake, it's like you need that kind of maturation period for him to kind of, to ensure that he doesn't get cooked and that you have an opportunity to have that kind of top of the line quarterback opportunity.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I think that's a separator. You know, Jaden's in his own category here to an extent in terms of readiness. Like, he is definitely the most ready. And part of that is his escapability, right? He gets out and can run. And, like, that's a safety flotation device in a year where, as a rookie quarterback in the NFL, it's good to have a safety flotation device. Yeah. But he's also, I think it's worth pointing out, like, he's 23 years old, will turn 24 during the season. McCarthy will not, unless the command, you know, whichever team he gets drafted by, makes a run in the playoffs, he will be 21 the entire season. He doesn't turn 22 till next January. So when we talk about readiness and like maturation and all that kind of stuff, like it makes sense that Jaden is ahead of these other guys. But I think that like when I look at JJ and Drake, to take Jaden out of it for a moment, just as a point of comparison, one of the biggest flaws in May's game is one of, to me, the biggest strengths in McCarthy's, which is JJ has this ability, and I noticed this, just you sent me a great cut up of like almost every throw of his from 2023. Yeah. And so you're able to just watch throw after throw after throw after throw. He has an instinctual ability to find the soft spot in the pocket. And like, no matter where that in that parabola, that U shape of the pocket is the center that is the safest, he has an ability to feel that and kind of float to it and then just get his, keep his feet and rip a ball somewhere. But that, like, I think if I'm an offensive lineman and I watch JJ McCarthy, I'm like, that's the guy I want because he is going to make me look really, really good. Meanwhile, Drake May, when you watch him drop in the pocket, he is all over the damn place. Like, yeah, he floats into pressure all the time. And so if I think of the things that could derail a game, a season from a young quarterback, like, what gives us a chance, that single characteristic from JJ McCarthy is like a huge green flag, where it's a pretty big red flag for Drake. And to bring Jaden back in the conversation, his sack to pressure ratio, he's got like two of the worst 10 seasons ever in the SEC. Yeah. And so you combine that with the weight, which, you know, as we talked about with Nate Tice, like the weight is not a durability factor. It's a sack prevention factor as much as anything. Like, you know, that is an interesting data point that, you know, again, there's a lot of different data points. This isn't to say that this settles the argument and it's JJ McCarthy, but like on the sack killing drive, like ability to take pressure, ability to avoid pressure, you know, line of the evaluation, it's a huge check mark in McCarthy's book. And I think that's one of his great strengths to go along with the arm talent. And I think that there is an element of that that is uncoachable and natural because it's a feel thing. And to watch him consistently do it well, I think is really, really impressive and is one of the reasons why I feel pretty good about lumping him in the category with two guys who seem more talented and have been ahead of him for a lot of the process.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And another kind of point with JJ is like, it's all NFL concept. It's all NFL throws. It's all NFL windows. And it's so hard for me as an evaluator to remove that bias from my evaluation, because I'm like, yeah, that is NFL Sunday. That is NFL Sunday. And it doesn't mean that the other guys can't do it, but it's just in your face in a way. Like when you watch those cutups, you're like, this is third and eight. He's hitting mesh, but he's hitting like the second crosser and like he's anticipating this throw, or they're hitting drive and the back's bursting and pulling the linebacker. He's anticipating this throw, or they're running, you know, like Y high cross, and it's not Y, but let's say F high cross, and he's hitting the crosser on the back shoulder and open, and he's creating open throws and opportunities for these guys. And again, like you watch the Bowling Green game, he looks like the worst quarterback in America, but there are like the consistency of it. You're just like, oh my gosh, like this is, that's why NFL teams are excited. That's why NFL evaluators are excited, I think. And I also think it's important to note that one of the reasons this JJ McCarthy hype is happening now is because this is when coaches get in on the evaluation, right? This is when they start watching film, and you better believe those dudes are like, we run that concept. Like, for example, there was a play that he was running the other day, which was CO. So it's an out and a corner, and it was versus cover two. And no other quarterback in this group that we're talking about has done this. He looks to the flat, the corner attacks the flat, and then he rips a fastball to the corner.
So I remember the play.
In terms of manipulating coverage with your eyes and having a feel for the pocket, like, it's pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good. Now, is that NFL translatable? He's on this team that's got 20 guys going and they're going to get drafted this year. I understand. But when you watch the film, it's so hard to get away from that. And I just want to talk to the Jaden Daniels point real quick about the sack to pressure ratio. Not all sacks, especially when you watch them, and I think John Kime brought this up, so shout out to John Kime, but like, not all sacks are created equal. So when you go watch his sacks, there's protection busts, there's guys losing quick, there's stuff like that at LSU. And also he's a playmaker, you know, with his legs in a way that the other guys aren't there. And those guys traditionally have higher sack rates. So because he's so dynamic as a runner, you're going to kind of, there's a little bit of a give and take there. I'm not sure, like when you watch his cutups, when you watch his film, I'm not sure that that's problematic in the same way it is problematic for Drake May, where, to your point, Drake May is sometimes finding pressures where you're like, don't do that. Like, that's not what we need here. And I think like, that's where I would kind of differentiate those other guys. Obviously, I think JJ does it the best in terms of sack to pressure ratio. Then there's Jaden, but Drake, there's times where, again, I like his film. I like the playmaker. I like what he brings. I like the moxie, but in terms of like being super polished, he's not, which makes me think he's a little bit more developmental than people want to kind of give. Again, uber talented, but that stuff where you're like, running into a defensive end or you're stepping up into a three technique. It's like, what are we doing here, man? Like that's I don't want to say that's a fatal flaw, but that's a big deal that needs to get corrected. And it can get corrected. It's just how much time do you have to make sure that that's fixed before week one is the question with him. Again, uber talented guy. Again, we did the big time throw cut up. I don't know if I sent that one to you, but when you watch big time throws, you're like, this is the best quarterback I've ever evaluated, right? Like, because that's what he brings. But it's more than that. It's more than like the upside. It's also the low level stuff, which are like, and it speaks to some of the inconsistencies, which we've talked about a ton, you and I, over the last couple of weeks. The inconsistency is because of these issues. And that's the thing with him that gets you a little bit nervous.
Yeah, for sure. I think the other thing, you know, just to kind of wrap up this conversation, or two other things, kind of getting back to our original point, how does it fit with Kingsbury offense? I think there are pluses and minuses up and down. The one thing that I do think you see, and I would love to watch some more All-22 on McCarthy and kind of see, is this intentional? But there is a lot of underthrown deep balls. And if you're going to have to, like, he's clearly got the arm strength. When you talk about ripping balls, like 30 yards on a rope, I think it's against Utah. It might be against UNLV. It was hard because I watched a lot yesterday, and it was against a red team. Now I feel like a child. They were playing the red team, but he rolls left and throws a touchdown pass to the back of the end zone. His feet are on the 20-yard line, and so it's a 30-yard throw because it's 10 yards deep in the end zone on a rope, and he's rolling left as a right-handed quarterback, and like unbelievable highlight level throw. So that high level stuff is there. Clearly the arm strength is there, but he does underthrow the deep ball on occasion, or with some frequency, I should say, and his guys make plays. So it winds up on the highlight tape, but you're like, oh, that ball should be a little bit out in front. Is that an anticipation thing? Is that I'm reading a backside corner that's not in the frame thing? Like that is a question. But for Cliff, the guy who wants to vertically attack traditionally, I do wonder if that's like a, hey, not my favorite. Where Jaden, as you mentioned, has a little bit weaker arm overall, but he's the best deep ball thrower in the class. So I think that that's an interesting dichotomy as well in terms of the fit. So I don't know if there's anything. There's one other thing I want to mention too on the mental side of it, but anything else from like a fit perspective that you think is worth mentioning? If you're running a specific system, which guy you would lean towards one way or the other?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that deep ball thing, because sometimes when I watch the film, I'm like, oh, is he trying to hit the back shoulder here? Which is a thing that makes sense because of the type of receiver he has. You know, he's got like a big body guy there. I forget his name at the moment, but he's draft eligible. Big guy, 6'4". Maybe back shoulder's more viable there. But if you watch him throw at the combine, he had a hard time hitting the deep throw. I think he had 3 or 4 opportunities. I think he was 1 for 4. You know, and like he got to a point, and I think part of it is because his arm is so good. And what I mean by that is he's throwing like darts, as opposed to kind of throwing these high arcing kind of opportunities where the receiver can make you right. And so I think he missed 2 and then throws 1 to Ryan Flournoy from Western Missouri, where it's like this, you know, it looks like he's trying to hit the top of the dome, but the receiver can adjust to it. And again, that's where his lack of throw volume becomes a little bit concerning, I think. It's that type of stuff where it's like, yeah, you do this NFL read, you do this NFL window, you have the arm talent, you have the footwork, but like you just don't have the volume of throws to kind of know, hey, I can layer this one, or I can touch this one in there. Now, can he get there? Absolutely. But in terms of the thing you're talking about, it's like, and I kind of going back to the beginning of the conversation, it's like, if we had to start someone tomorrow, who's it going to be in this Cliff Kingsbury offense? It's going to be Jaden Daniels. It's just the other two guys might have slightly higher ceilings potentially. Again, that's not a knock on Jaden Daniels because I think he's got a very high ceiling as well. Yeah. But there are these issues with them that you're kind of like, can this get corrected? Can we fix this? And usually you don't want a guy starting day one who have some of these things going on. So.
Yeah, so that's going to be the question. Is it a long-term? Is it a short-term? I think they're probably more comfortable with Marcus Mariota than anyone in the fan base is, and certainly you and I are, but I also am kind of with, like, I don't care what happens in the short-term if you get the Pro Bowl guy in the long-term. So, you know, we'll see about that. Last thing I'll just note on McCarthy real quick. I was texting, you know, we're watching the highlights and it's the TV copy, and all of a sudden my pal Noah Eagle is calling a bunch of those games. And so he's, of course, play-by-play for the Big Ten for NBC. And I texted Noah and I was like, I'm watching McCarthy and I like him way more than I should. And, you know, just kind of have that conversation going with Noah. And he said he is maybe the most elite mental college athlete I've ever talked to. So when you talk about the conversation stuff, and Noah's a younger guy. It's not like he's been doing this for 30 years, but like he's for the 5-6 years that he's been doing this, like he's been doing it at a very high level. Noah, very elite himself. So he's been around, you know, Big Ten basketball, Big Ten football, some of the other conferences at a very high level, talking to a lot of really high level players. And he's like, McCarthy's the most elite guy. And we know that he's got like the mindfulness stuff and he does the grounding before games. And so he just has like a very, very intentional approach to mental health, and to his mentality side of his game that I think will probably ring well with a lot of what DQ and Adam Peters are looking for, people who are in control of that part of their game. And we just, it's not as public in terms of how Jaden Daniels and Drake May are on that and care for that and all of that. But I do think that, you know, just from like a, we know we can take the coaching because he was with Harbaugh, the processing, like all this stuff that we put in the mental bucket, like JJ McCarthy is a really elite prospect. And that's certainly going to speak well to this group that is looking at that very heavily. And then it just becomes a matter of how well do Jaden and Drake score on those same things.
Yeah. And I'm really glad you brought up the mental side, because I think that's great. I think you see that when he's doing interviews too. The other thing I wanted to point out is I was talking to a group of people at the combine who'd worked with Jaden Daniels pretty extensively. And they were talking about like this VR system that they had developed. And that's what I was talking to them about. But through the conversation, you realize that Jaden Daniels is putting in like an extra 2 or 3 hours a day in preparation, you know, to kind of get ready for each week on this VR system, you know? And so like, even though he kind of comes off as like a little quiet and a little aloof, like you talked about the Herm Edwards thing, like dude's competitive and dude's a worker. And I think like that's, again, they all have their elements. And I think like, you know, I don't know anybody, I didn't talk to anybody about Drake May. I don't know him that well, but it's cool when you hear these guys handling themselves in that way. And again, it comes back to like, I think about this conversation, like we're literally splitting hairs here. It's like, well, this, but that, and you can kind of say like, oh, this is a plus, like that Drake May has kind of got the most upside. That's a plus, right? We want that. And if they did that, I'd be like, good. You know, if they went, oh, we felt most comfortable with JJ McCarthy because of the youth and because of good. And then if you said Jaden Daniels, because he's an absolute baller and he can make plays, like good, right. Like they're all good. It's just about kind of trying to distill like what is the right fit here for this organization long-term, because it is a big, big decision that's going to shape the next 5 years probably. So
no doubt. I will say this, we're not going to do let's wrap it up with a nice, neat, who would you take? I would say Drake May is going to make me the most nervous, but I also get it because he's got the biggest upside, and we'll see what the other two have to offer, and whether or not they wind up being the pick at number two. We're less than a month away, and we'll continue talking about it with all kinds of people here on Take Command.